The Witch's Apprentice, Part 1. Lady Markov had come down from her chamber to find her small, comfortable library swept and tidied, sunlight streaming in through the windows and kissing the spines of the books. It had been several months since she had taken on the apprentice, and though she had been reluctant to open her home to a stranger, likely a curious and intrusive presence, she couldn't help but admit that she could have done a hell of a lot worse. It was because of him that she now had the time to linger by the window in the morning sun, gazing out over Templeton, without a thousand tasks demanding her attention. She smelled coffee and looked up to see the boy descending the staircase from the tiny kitchen they both shared. Markov was one of three magic practitioners that served the people of Templeton. The stipend she received from the university was only just comfortable. In exchange, she provided a service to the local people and conducted research for the university. It meant she could afford the tower close to the waterfront, which included her chambers, a small study, the boys' room, the cramped kitchen, and this, her library, still comparatively small, but taking up the majority of the space of the tower. The boy had been good to her. He brewed a good coffee and kept her house well. Made a good maid, secretary, cook, novice chemist, and general assistant. But it had been almost a year. "Boy," she said, clearing her throat, "wait a moment." She looked him up and down, appraising him. "How would you like to sit in on the ritual this morning?" His eyes opened wide and his head was filled with a torrent of thoughts triggered by her question. Sit in on the ritual? An actual summoning of an actual higher being? All he had done until now was help her out, prepare components, study. The most he had ever sit in on was an imp summoning, and that was over in a flash, the creature unsummoned before it could cause any havoc. Would he only be observing, or did she expect him to participate? And how much? Calm down, no use in getting ahead of yourself. He tried to regain his composure. Of course, Masara, it would be an honor to join you. Would you like me to assist you during the ritual? She noted his level voice as he spoke, the same soft, measured tone that he always used around her. No need, Gavi. I simply think it's time for you to begin your education in earnest. Starting with how to actually talk to our... She smiled. Guests. It is my understanding that you wanted to learn the craft. You have spent enough time on fundamentals. I think you're ready now to participate. She strode past him, expecting him to follow, even pausing at the door out of the library to hold it open for him. "Do you know Miss Birch?" she began. "The young woman with the red hair that came to see me some days ago? Well, she came to have a curse lifted. You see, her father expects her to marry, but when she is alone with her suitor, her voice stops and she cannot speak. She could not tell me the origin of this curse. I expect that is part of it. But she could tell me the symptoms. You have already prepared the study and a simple potion on which we will bestow a blessing, or rather, our guest will. From your studies, if you were to conduct this ritual yourself, who would you summon? What blessing would you ask for?" "Right," he said. "We cannot undo the curse due to the limited information regarding its nature, but we can counteract it with a stronger, opposing influence. The subject loses her voice when she is alone with her suitor? Specifically alone?" "Oh, yes, I see. That would put a stop to any number of things. My first thought would be a blessing from some familial, marital, or perhaps fertility deity. But that's more the task of a priest." He paused for a solid moment. "Miss Era, forgive me for being a bit brash, but... I think I would consider summoning a succubus? A being connected with feelings of lust and one devoid of inhibitions. At least, that's what I've read. The blessing would be one designed to release inhibitions, if I'm understanding the curse correctly." She couldn't help but smile, though she'd hid it behind the lip of her coffee mug as she backed into the study. It was a dim, candle-lit room, the sunlight shut out with heavy curtains. The candles were clean, however, and gave off a light, cozy air. Good, very clever. I had to think about this one, too. You see, she can speak to her friends, her family. It is only when she wants to ask something of a man that her voice fails her. She deftly stepped over the chalk marks he had made earlier on the floor, checking for gaps or mistakes, but everything seemed to be in order. Now, why would someone wish to inhibit her so? It seems like an attempt to isolate the client and deny her romantic affection. And so we shall summon a being whose entire nature is to unlock, unbind, and nurture power, specifically sexual power. She made a lap of the room, small as it was. Stay outside the circle, kneel or sit comfortably, and try not to break my concentration. And, she gave him a gentle smile, do not be afraid. Mischief might be her purview, but she is incapable of cruelty or violence. She cannot lie or cheat, only she might be a little intense. Do you understand? I understand, Miss Eyre. He found a space in one of the corners that would allow him to observe both his teacher and their guest, as she called them. The feeling of joy from getting the answer right was fast turning to agitation. It was hard to focus. This was his first summoning of a higher being, and it was going to be a succubus. If the illustrations were anything near reality. Yes, intense was certainly a way to put it. Settling into position, he did his best to find a comfortable pose and calm his nerves. He wasn't supposed to attract the demon's attention, after all. Markov found her place a little to his left, as she relaxed, drawing her focus to her core, to the internal well of power that was both warm and familiar to her. She spoke softly, taking the opportunity to teach him. By inviting her into our home, Gavi, she becomes our guest, and so we owe her hospitality. In return, she owes us courtesy. Some practitioners prefer to perform their rituals in neutral spaces, outdoors, for example. Her breathing became slow and deep. The only thing we must know to summon her is her name, her true name. No demon is compelled to answer, but they hear it, and, for most, it piques their curiosity. I will teach you how to learn names later. For now. She opened her eyes. When she spoke again, it was not particularly loud or forceful, but the name did cause a shift in the air, a slight rise in the temperature of the room. Lorelei, treat with us. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, as if stepping through a veil, parting the very air itself, Lorelei appeared. Markov was prepared for the sweet aura of playful seduction that emanated from her, of heavy suggestion, as if a secret was about to be shared. But nothing could have prepared Gavi for her sleek, ethereal beauty. The illustrations were nothing. Dark skin, like the sky before the sun kisses the horizon, eyes like a cascade of stars, blue and crystalline, hair like sunlight through tropical waters. She was clothed in what might have been silk or satin, but was more like smoke, just resting on her slender shoulders, promising the rise of her perfect breasts, her hips and long, graceful legs. No image nor written word or warning could convey the feelings that were now coursing through him, nor the intoxication caused by her aura of warmth, comfort and invitation. He struggled to clear his thoughts, to find a point to focus on, but it was impossible to turn his eyes away from her breasts. Lorelei knelt before Markov, who was gazing at her with thinly veiled wonder. Miss Sarah, the succubus purred, how may I be of service? She was, of course, aware of Gavi's presence, and sensed the hitch in his energy. It caused her lips to part, her eyelids to grow heavy, but she did not turn her attention to him yet. even though the immediate stunned sense of falling, followed by the scrabbling for purchase that she felt from him, was compelling. No, the boy had not called her. Margoff dipped her head in respect. A woman has been cursed. She went on to explain the story. Lorelei's eyes remained wide and bright, but concern marked her expression, and she put her hand over her heart, causing the celestial fabric of her dress to shift and shimmer, almost as if it were made of dreams and no more. And so will you grant her some of your liberty, so that she can shrug off whatever weight makes her mute? But of course, Misera. Lorelei took the glass vial from Markov. In doing so, their fingers met for only a moment. The effect on Markov was immediate and apparent. A flush rose to her cheeks, and she let out a breath carefully, as if she had only just stifled a gasp. Lorelei simply gave her a knowing smile and kissed the vial, which seemed to grow with a flower petal light before dimming once more. That should give her the voice she needs to ask for what she wants. Thank you. But, Misera? Lorelei's voice was light, curious. However, there was a definite hint of motivation in it. Her eyes turned to Gavi, and her smile broadened. Who is this? His eyes darted up from her breast to her eyes when he realized that she was looking right at him. She spotted me. Was she supposed to spot me? Is this bad? I mean, I am right here in the room next to Misera. Of course she would spot me. Should I respond? Should I stay silent? The question was aimed at Misera. Shut up, focus, calm down, and try not to drown in her eyes. Lorelei gasped at his sudden panic, the rush of blood and thoughts, her eyes lighting up. Delighted, she wriggled on the spot as if she had tasted something exquisite. Markov was frowning, looking from the succubus to Gavi, before realization dawned on her. Oh, he's my apprentice. He was just observing the ritual. Lorelei bit her lip. Oh, but he is just adorable, Misera. Her attention was now totally on Gavi. I like how you look at me, boy. I like the heat that comes from you. So much potential. So much youth and need and fear. Oh, the things I could do to you. It is a wonder that one of my kind has not visited you before now. Markov continued to look at him, her eyes raised, a little taken aback by Lorelei's sudden, powerful interest. She understood that the boy was handsome, but he had always been so quiet, so out of her way. It had never occurred to her that the boy would have any kind of potential. She scolded herself. What young man did not think and feel and desire in that way? Gavi squirmed on the spot, driven to distraction. My need, or fear, has nothing to do with why Misera summoned you, he said, as bravely as he could. No, it doesn't, the succubus replied. But there is no harm in some extracurricular learning, no? I see you want to impress Misera. She was moving towards him, crawling forward until she could kneel in front of him, eye to eye. Her knees were on the edge of the circle. With a gesture like pulling a hood over her head, she transformed before his eyes, becoming a double of Markov, whose own eyes popped. Lorelei didn't seem to care. She only grinned, the alluring expression just as effective in Markov's features. She licked her lips. Do you dream of her at night? Do you think of her when you lock your door and touch yourself? Would it surprise you that she has some secrets of her own? Markov coughed loudly, and Lorelei swiftly reverted back to her own form, giggling. Are you serious, Lorelei? Do you want him? Yes, let me teach him. Markov pursed her lips. I suppose this lesson was coming, sooner or later. if he consents. But do not take my form. It is, she flushed, uncomfortable. Then stay. Join us. He will feel safer with you here to steady him. She considered. Yes, perhaps that is a good idea. Gavi's desires were getting the better of him. He could feel the tension in his chest, and he was suddenly aware of the erection lifting his trousers in a tight tent. But neither of them were scolding him for this. His heart was beating hard and fast, and he could swear they must all hear it resound in the study. There was no use in hiding what his body had already betrayed. I realize it's not exactly what I came here to learn, but if Mazara says that I'm safe, then... Markov nodded, but there was a stiffness in her movements. She didn't know why she was hesitant. There had been a time when this had been a massive part of her job, and Gavi would make a very poor witch indeed if he did not learn how to handle encounters like this. Taking a breath, she said, "It's all right, Gavi," using his name in a soft, gentle way. "Lorelei won't hurt you. She wants the energy that's mounting in your body right now. She will bring it to a head and take it from you. In exchange, she'll make the experience rather pleasurable." Despite her words, Markov was aware that Lorelei would be deeply intimidating to the boy. After a moment's hesitation, she got on her feet and went to him, settling herself down behind him so that her back was to the wall, his back to her front, and her arms around his waist. She had never actually touched him apart from the occasional accidental brushes in passing. He was warm, and she could feel his subtle musculature under his clothes, his rapidly rising and falling breath. He smelled of paper and the rose candles he had prepared for them that morning, and for just a moment she let herself enjoy him, a small, secret smile on her face. Lorelei caught her eye, and Markov turned away. The succubus had been right. There was something compelling about him, something that invited her. Part of Gavi wanted to scream with excitement. A better part of him reminded him how lucky he was. "Thank you for being here to guide me, Mazara." He cleared his throat before he continued, as if working his way up to something. "With Mazara's blessing, Demon Lorelei, I accept your offer." "So formal," Lorelei murmured, her lips curling with amusement. "I wonder if I can make you swear." She rested her hands on his shins, running them up past his knees as she shifted closer to him, her nose almost touching his. "Oh, I can feel that. You've never been touched by a woman like this before, have you? That fresh, urgent desire. It's so delicious." She was kissing him now, slow and soft and infinitely gentle, her lips feather-light on his. Suddenly, so much sensation. His teacher had always been kind to him, but never physical. The succubus had guessed correctly that he had dreamed of her embrace many a night, and finally feeling her arms around him, combined with whatever Lorelei's magic was doing to his body, made him feel at once both safe and electrifyingly blissful. He felt a powerful shiver as the demon's gentle fingers ran up his body, the shine of her eyes so close to his face that he was somewhat blinded, so the sensation of her lips on his came as a beautiful surprise. Unsure how to reciprocate, he tried to imitate, matching her pace and movements. He didn't dare touch her skin, but raised his hand to trail his fingers through the fabric of her impossibly smooth clothes, frightened that any bold move would ruin everything. Lorelei hummed happily against his lips. For her part, she did not need him to be skilled or sure or confident. She could feel his arousal, now pointed, sharp, demanding, burning. Her hands were on his chest, and then stroking his neck, his jaw, seeking his bare skin. "It's all right," Markov whispered, her lips close to his ear. Her fingers were idly tracing the lines of his chest. Just enjoy her body. Just feel. She knows what she's doing. The fingers of her left hand made their way into his hair, and she kissed his shoulder gently. Lorelai was now kissing the other side of his neck, her hands on his waist, sneaking under his shirt and hooking her fingers under the hem of his trousers. How his heart hadn't escaped his chest yet, he couldn't explain. Lorelai's kisses felt electric, sending tremors down his spine, making him gasp for air, while Markov's touch was warm, almost cozy, making him close his eyes and melt into her. Nothing he had dreamt of was even close to this. The dizzying contrast between the exciting tease of the succubus and Markov's reassuring caress. The invitation to explore Lorelai's body was impossible to resist. In response to the encouragement, he laid his hands on her waist, feeling naked skin and savoring how it felt warm and smooth in his hands. She had not undressed, but it seemed as if her dress had melted away, if it had ever been more than just a trick of the light. The sensations were culminating between his legs, his cock twitching with each electric kiss, the slight pull as it rubbed against his trousers so unsatisfying. Would it be appropriate for me to undress also? He asked. Lorelai laughed at his question, and even Markov grinned against his neck. The two women looked at each other, and Markov felt a spark of boldness. Hell, she was even feeling playful. She gave Lorelai an imperceptible nod. The succubus grabbed the hem of his trousers and pulled them down to his knees, underwear and all, with a few quick tugs. At the same time, Markov lifted his shirt up and over his head, revealing the length of his torso, the curve of his ribcage. He was naked, suddenly, and Markov was stroking his chest in long, smooth motions, counting his ribs with her fingertips. She found herself looking over his shoulder at the curve of his twitching member and caught herself biting her lip. Lorelai was already kissing his inner thigh, working her way up his legs to his hips, her hair tickling his skin. I'm going to make you curse before I'm done, she promised between kisses, her bright eyes locked on his. His harsh panting turned into huffs of excited laughter. Hearing Lorelai's threat, he couldn't help but smile wide, allowing some of the joy of the situation to overcome his inhibition. Slowly, painfully slowly, Lorelai dipped her head down to his crotch, kissing the base of his cock, nuzzling against his shaft with a soft purring sound. In one agonizing movement, she licked the length of his cock from base to tip, once, twice, and then she took the head into her mouth, suckling it. Her body stretched out, her backside swaying from side to side as she worked, a happy cat. She almost did it. He stifled the curse with huge effort, overwhelmed by the new sensation. The wet warmth of Lorelai's mouth caused him to pant, and he couldn't help moaning softly, getting louder. Markov held him close, wrapping her arms around him and kissing his jaw, her half-lidded eyes on Lorelai's bobbing head, her own arousal becoming profound. Her kisses on his face caught his attention, and he let out a quieter sound, almost a whimper, as he turned to look at her, his head floating in pleasure from the embrace and Lorelai's lips and tongue. He only just managed to whisper, Can I... before pressing his lips to hers. His lips were hot, ardent, and his kiss shocked her, not because it was bold, but because his honest need made her heart beat hard. She kissed him back, her hand on his face, her tongue coming out to taste his lips, parting them, inviting him to kiss her deeper. Lorelai watched them with a smile around his cock, before sinking down the shaft, taking him all in, licking the underside, until the head was pressed against her throat, and she swallowed around it, squeezing it. In long, steady strokes, she moved her head up and down, sucking and licking him, taking him all in each time before withdrawing, leaving his shaft wet and twitching. Dizzy, he moaned into Markov's lips, taking the invitation to kiss her deep and hard. His cock kept going deeper and deeper into Lorelai's mouth. In that moment, he delighted in the sudden sense of freedom. He laid his head back on Markov's shoulder, reaching into her hair with one hand and Lorelai's hair with the other, thrusting ungracefully into her mouth, sending moans to the ceiling. Good, Markov stroked his neck, tangling the fingers of her other hand in his hair. Good boy, that's it. She felt him arch his back against her, his moans and whimpers making her breathe hard, her face flush. Lorelai was murmuring around his cock, her sweet voice musical and her tongue vibrating against the underside. She picked up the pace, tasting the sharpness of pre-cum and growing hungry. His pleasure was rising, coiling, coming to crisis, and she yearned for it. She felt his pleasure as if it were her own, painting his cock with her tongue. Markov could sense it too. She remembered what it was like to have a man's body seize in her arms, to hear their breath stop. That's it. You can let go. All pleasure came back towards his groin, filling the entire length of his shaft, making it throb stronger than he had ever felt before. His hips were almost out of his control, thrusting harder and harder into Lorelai's mouth, her moans driving him mad with the vibrating purr of her voice. The hand that had been in Markov's hair fell to her hip, grasping tightly. Markov gasped, shivering, his orgasm making the hairs on her arms stand on end. Good boy, she breathed, kissing his neck, and it was her lustful, sweet encouragement that pushed him over the edge. Oh, yes, oh, fuck! He cried out wordlessly, feeling the pulses of his cock meet with Lorelai's eager mouth, the pleasure filling his entire being, wave after wave. Lorelai buried her face in his crotch, swallowing him entirely as he throbbed and twitched in her mouth. She felt hot seed hit the back of her throat and squealed with delight. Almost immediately she was flush with energy, becoming somehow even more vibrant and lively, her skin glowing with happiness. Not a single drop escaped her lips, and she continued to nurse his cock until there was no more left, gently cupping the head of his cock with her tongue. Licking her lips, she straightened up and leaned in to kiss his forehead sweetly. Thank you, sweetling. She caressed his cheek, giving him a gentle, happy smile. That was invigorating. She giggled, her face lighting up. Panting, he instinctively followed her starlit gaze in a daze, an awkward laugh escaping him when she giggled. As he came to, he became suddenly painfully aware of his nakedness. Just a moment ago, he had felt so free and open, but now he felt exposed, vulnerable. Without thinking, he averted his eyes from both of them as he reached to pull his trousers up to his hips. Then, as if trying to hide from his predicament, he buried his face in Markov's breast, his eyes shut tight. Lorelai watched this with interest, and the two women again exchanged looks. Markov was stiff, frozen, uncertain how to react to his sudden show of affection. Lorelai only smiled indulgently. Masera, she reminded gently, instincts are rarely incorrect in these matters. Markov frowned, but feeling the warmth of his face against her chest, she exhaled and embraced him briefly. Isn't this usually your place? She asked Lorelai dryly. He went to you, not me. Beaming, utterly satisfied, Lorelai got to her feet and bowed to Markov before seeing herself out the way she had arrived, slipping behind some invisible curtain to whatever realm she had come from. Left alone, Markov remained where she was a few moments before gently separating herself from Gavi and getting to her feet. She felt oddly restless, perhaps a little embarrassed, her eyes anywhere but on him, brushing down her robes. Take your time cleaning up, she told him, and take the rest of the morning off. I'll let you know when I need you again. Yes, Masera. Thank you. Unsteadily, he got to his feet as she left and put on the rest of his clothes. He began to snuff the candles one by one, but just before he erased the circle, he stopped himself for a moment, looking around, as if searching for the demon, and whispered, "And thank you, too."